All right, we're beginning here, two lines from the bottom of Ayin Bet Amud Bet. The Gemara was searching for the source for the fact that one who has a kemitza taken off of a mincha, that the shirayim end up being eaten by the kohanim. So the Gemara slowly narrowed down the fact that by many of these items, we already have it written explicitly in the Torah. For those that we don't have it explicitly in the Torah, we have Zotorat HaMincha, which then combines all of them for the same din. And then the only residuals that we had left over were the Minchat Omer and the Minchat Kinaot, because they came from Se'orim. Again, for the Rabbonon, there wasn't really any question, because they only have one paradigm of Mincha, and that is when you have a Kmitza taken off of it, the Kometz goes on the Mizbeach, and the Shirayim go to the Kohanim. It was really a question for Rabbi Shimon, who has two paradigms of a Mincha. He has a Mincha where the Kometz is taken off, put on the Mizbeach, Shirayim eaten by the Kohanim. But he also has a Mincha where the Kometz is taken off, and the Shirayim also end up on the Mizbeach. So the question is, with regards to the Menachot that involves Se'orim, which is Minchat Omer and Minchat Kanaot, for Rabbi Shimon, what is the source for the fact that Kometz is put on Mizbeach and the Shirayim are Nechalim LaKohanim? So the Gemara ended with the fact that we learned it from the Pasuk of V'chol Mincha B'lula B'Shemen V'chareva L'chol B'nei Aron Tiyeh Im Einu Inyan B'lula Shel Chitim T'nei Ol Inyan B'lula Shel Se'orim V'im Einu Inyan L'chareva Shel Chitim T'nei Ol Inyan Chareva Shel Se'orim, which captures those two korbanot, because the Minchat Kanaot is a Mincha Chareva, does not have oil, does not have Levona in it, and since we don't need it for Chitim, because we learned that from Zotorat HaMincha, therefore we can use it for Se'orim. And similarly, B'lula B'Shemen will be the Minchat HaOmer, where again, if we don't need it for chitim, we'll apply it to se'orim. And that was the source that we said for Rabbi Shimon's position. Now the Gemara says, V'hai l'hachi hu da'ato? That's what you use that pasuk for? Hamibayle l'kedetanyo. We need it for this braita. Minayin shen chukim menachot keneged zivachim. How do we know that you're not allowed to divide up menachot versus zivachim? Here where the Kohanim are splitting up the korbanot that are in the Mikdash, how do we know that they can't trade off items against other items? For instance, you can see this in the Rashi. He says, "Shelo yomar hakohen lechaveiro, tulata zvachim, v'ani menachot. I want to eat menachot, you want zvachim, you want meat, I want matzah. Let's split it between us. I'll take your matzah, you take my meat." You're not allowed to do that. How do you know that that's the fact? Talmud Lomar, so quotes the pasuk that we were just speaking about. It's the pasuk right before it. V'chol mincha asher te'afe betanur. So the Gemara says, V'chol mincha asher te'afe betanur, V'chol b'nei Aron iyeh. So that will all be for b'nei Aron, which is in the next pasuk. V'chol mincha b'la b'shemen v'chareva l'chol b'nei Aron tiyeh ish ke'achiv. As Rashi in the Ktav Yad notes, V'chol b'nei Aron tiyeh is a kulakai. It goes on all the things that are in the two psukim beforehand. So that's what it does now. It says, V'chol mincha asher te'afe betanur, dot, 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 V'chol b'nei Aron tiyeh, ish ke'achiv. Each individual will get his portion. Yochol lo yechalku menachot keneged zvachim. So maybe a mincha versus a zevach, you can't split that way. Shelo kamu tachtehem bedalut, because they don't replace each other. Aval yechalku menachot keneged ofot. But you can't split between an oaf and a mincha. Shelo kamu tachtehem bedalut, because in a korban olev yored, the top level is a behema, the middle level is an oaf, and the lowest level is a mincha. So you would think maybe because the mincha replaces the oaf in that situation, that you could exchange between them, trade an oaf for a mincha, or your portion in the oaf, put the other kohen's portion in the mincha. Talmud Lomar, v'chol naseh b'marcheshet, v'chol b'nei Aron tiyeh. Again, v'chol naseh b'marcheshet, dot, 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 v'chol b'nei Aron tiyeh, that it goes to each individual. Yachol lo yechalku menachot keneged ofot. You would think, okay, mincha versus ofot, shalalu minei damim. One of them is dam that goes on his veach, shalalu minei kmachim, as opposed to a mincha, which is only flour. Yechalku ofot keneged zvachim. On the other hand, you trade off between birds and zvachim, shalalu vehalalu minei damim. They're both blood that ends up on the mizbeach. So maybe they're categorically considered to be a single unit. Tamar lomar v'al machavat. And again, dot, 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 l'chol b'nei Aron tiyeh. So that says that you can't do it there. Yochol lo yechalku ofot keneged zvachim. Okay, so you can't split ofot to zvachim. Shalalu asiyatam biyad. The birds are done through malika, which is through the hand, the thumb of the kohen. Shalalu asiyatam bikli. On the other hand, these zvachim are shechted with a sakin, with a knife. Aval yechalku menachot keneged menachot. But maybe you can do a mincha versus another mincha. She'elu ve'elu asiyatam biyad. Because both of them are done by hand, and they're both kemachim. So maybe over there you could split. If you have, I'll take your machreshet, you take my machavat. Tamalomar, b'chol mincha b'lulava shemen, dot, l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh. So again, there, each individual gets their portion in that korban. Yochalo yechalku machavat k'neged machreshet. You would think, okay, if you have two different types of menachot, you can't split them between you. So you can't trade off a machavat versus a machreshet, or machreshet k'neged machavat. Shezo ma'aseh kashim, v'zo ma'aseh rakim. Because the machavat is much more solid, crispy, because it's done in a shallow pan, versus the marcheshet, which is in a deep fry, which is much softer. So since they're different, maybe that's why you can't trade off between them. But the same type of mincha, maybe there you could say, you take my portion in this marcheshet, and I'll take your portion in that marcheshet. Tamalomar, b'chareva, l'chol b'nei Aaron, tiyeh. So now already we reached the point in the pasuk where it's actually b'chareiva l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh. You don't need dot anymore. Ish ke'achiv. So that each one of these items is kept individually and divided and distributed individually, and you're not allowed to trade off between them. Yochol lo yochol kugotshei kodoshim. So you would think that that was limited, or this restriction was limited to kodshei kodoshim. Aval yochalku b'kodshim kalim. On the other hand, maybe by Kodshim Kalim, they would have the capacity to trade between them. The Havamina would be that there's a difference in the Kohen's ownership in Kodshim Kalim versus Kodshei Kodashim. By Kodshei Kodashim, what we seem to be saying over here is Mishulchan Gavua Kazachu, that they really don't own it. They're just given the right to eat it on behalf of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and since they have no ownership in it, they can't trade it off between each other. But that's because it's Kodshei Kodashim. Maybe by Kodshim Kalim, where generally there is an aspect of Mamon Balim. We even have an opinion, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who believes that by the Balim, that Kodshim Kalim are classified as being Mamon Balim, and not as Hekdesh, and that you have real ownership inside of the Kodshim Kalim. And maybe the same thing is true for the Kohanim as well. Tamalomar Ish Ke'achiv. That's the final words of the Pasuk. L'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh Ish Ke'achiv. But then immediately afterwards, the next pasuk begins, "Zot Torah Zevach Hashlamim Asher Yakriv LaHashem Im Al Toda Yakrivenu." The next pasuk, the follow-up to this pasuk, the juxtaposition to it, says, "Kashem Shein Chukim BeKodshei Kodashim Kachen Chukim BeKodshim Kalim." Just like you can't divide up, trade off between Kodshei Kodashim, you also cannot trade off between Kodshim Kalim. Pasuk ends, "Chol Bnei Aaron Tiyeh Ish Ke'achiv." And as we noted before, you can darshan lifnei, which means that it applies to all the korbanot menachot that were mentioned before that. It also applies acharei, to that which comes immediately afterwards, which is the todah, which is a subset of shlamim, which is a kodshim kalim. And on both of those, it's saying that every person gets their portion, and you can't trade off. It's not yours to trade off with the other kohanim. And the way that Rashi phrases it over here is the itkish kodshim kalim, the kodshei kodashim leminachot, the yan chalukah. That the ekesh is not just between the kodshim kalim and ishke achiv, but rather it's to kodshei kodashim as a whole. Just like kodshei kodashim have these rules, so do the kodshim kalim have the same exact rules with regards to them. Now, despite the fact that that's true with the chazev ishok of the shlamim, which means that the kohanim's portion of the kodshei kodalim, they do not have a right to trade between them, the basar that goes to the balim, they can do with it as they please. There's no restriction on them in terms of that. They can give it to someone else. They can trade it off with someone else. That is theirs. This is limited to the kohen's portion of the kodshim kalim, because again, we say, Mishulchan gavoa kazachu. And the Gemara says, ish. So what does the word ish mean over here? Ish cholek. It comes to teach you that an individual can split up the kodashim at the end of the day, including a balmum. So the Gemara over there discussed in Zvachim, if you remember the sugya, as to why we believe that ish includes a balmum and does not include a tameh. Someone who's tameh during that day will be ra'ui to eat it that night. So there was a tension as to which was better, to be a balmum or someone who was tameh who could eat that night. And the Gemara came to the conclusion that the balmum should have more rights over here in terms of splitting of the kodashim, because he is ra'ui la'achila at this point in time, versus the one who is tameh, who is not ra'ui la'achila at this time. Now, even though achila is not the sole arbiter of whether one is entitled to kodashim, nevertheless, it's an important part of the splitting of the kodashim. And since a bal mum has the right to eat in the kodashim, and that we know from the pasuk in Parshat Emor, so too over here, the word ish comes to tell you, not only does he have a right to eat it, He also has a right in terms of his ability to take a portion of the Kodeshim. Ve'ein katan chulek vafilutam. But a minor does not have any rights, even if he is not a Baal Mom. He is under the auspices of his father. He will get a portion of what his father gets, but he individually will not get a portion because of the word ish. Ish means someone who's not a minor, and therefore a katan is precluded. And there in Zvachim, it's actually learned out from the pasuk in Vayikra Vav Chavet Kol Zachar BaKohanim Yochol Ata Kodesh Kodeshim Hu. Even though we're there, it's speaking about Achila. Nevertheless, the Gemara points out that already in Parashat Emor, Perek Chaf Aleph, Psukim Chaf Aleph and Chaf Bet, it says anybody has a mum can't serve in the Mikdash. Then in Pasuk Chaf Bet, it says Lechem Elokav Mikodeshei Kodeshim Mikodeshim Yochel. So you see there that we already have a dispensation for a Baal mum to eat. So then what must be meant in Vayikra Vav when it says Kol Zachar BaKohanim Yochel Ota? That comes to entitle a Baal mum not only to eating of the Kodeshim, but also to a chaluka, a portion in the kodoshim. And you can actually see that in the Shita Mekubetzet Obet, where he says, La mihai kra nafke. They actually don't learn this out of the pasuk of Ish, because in Perek Tvoyom, Mapik Lei, Mikol Zachar Bibnei Aron, which is from the pasuk that we just read in Vayikra Vav, Ela Ikor Kra Lemute Katan. The major reason that the Ish comes in the pasuk is to exclude a katan. For Orche the Talmudah, the old Koel Shtei Drashot Mikra Echad. It's a normal style of the Gemara to take two drashot out of a single word, Afobin Shein Yotzot Mimenu, even though they don't come from it. Meaning that they use the word Ish just quickly to tell you Ish includes Baal Mom, excludes Katan. The truth is only excluding Katan comes from the word Ish. We know about a Baal Mom from other Psukim, but just in a quick summary way, they're showing you the din that applies, even though it doesn't come from this particular word or from this particular drashah. So now, the Baal Yei Tosafot point out a certain amount of inconsistency in the Braita. The Braita just went through this whole long list of limudim to teach you that they are not splitting up the Kodoshim. You can't trade it off between the Kohanim. And then all of a sudden here you have Ish Cholek. You divide it up, implying that there is a Chaluka, and there is some sort of breakdown of the Korbanot, that you divide them between the Kohanim. So how do you reconcile between the fact that the Braita just told you you're not allowed to divide it up, you're not allowed to trade off between the Kohanim, versus the end of the Braita, which says that you do divide it up, and you do split it between the Kohanim. So at first, the Baal Yei Tosafot says something interesting. He says, Lashon Cholek, Lav Davka. Doesn't literally mean that they divide it up, or they throw lots for it. The Hatam Kamar in Chokim. Then we just say that you're not allowed to split it up, you're not allowed to divide, that's the beginning of the Braita. Elo Klomar, Ein, there are two Girsot here in the Tosafot, Makpitimbo, or Ein Mirivinbo, that they are not Makpit on it, meaning that whatever you get, Aval Chaluka Gmura, Lo Avde. But they don't do a full-fledged division of the item, Litol B'Shaveh, to tell you that everybody is equal. Meaning that you just give it out, and whatever a person gets, and whatever goes to whomever, is fine. That's the first way the Baal Yei Tosafot learn. They back away from that and then come to the following conclusion. He says, O Nira, the Davka Kamar. Maybe you could say Davka, they were Choleket. Ein Chokim Linyan Shehi Shalo, the Kadesh Bo Isha. What does Ein Chokim mean? Ein Chokim means you don't have monetary rights in the item. Ein Chokim means you have no monetary rights. Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachi. Whereas Cholek over here means that you get a portion of that which is available to the Kohanim. So there's a difference between Ein Chokim, which means you have no rights or monetary rights to trade off with, or to use it to marry a woman with, but on the other hand, you do have a right to a portion of that which is being distributed in the Mikdash. And then he says, Inami Yesh Lomar, Delo Mematina Anhacha El Shein Mechalkim Mincha Chariva Zu Keneg Mincha Chariva Acheret. And here the last solution of the Baal Yei Tosafot seems to be the more reasonable solution, or most reasonable solution, which is to say that the beginning of the Braita is speaking about you can't trade off between different korbanot. You can't take one mincha and trade it against another mincha and say, I'll take this mincha, you take that mincha. Aval mincha achat bifnei atzma mechalkin. A single mincha, v'chein zevach echad, a single korban is divided up. The Braita is just precluding the ability to trade between different korbanot. But once you have a single korban, that's divided up amongst the Kohanim. Every Kohen has a right and will get a portion of whatever is available from the Korbanot that are brought. But that means each Korban individually will be split up. So if there are 30 Kohanim there, you'll divide every mincha 30 ways. 100 Kohanim, you're going to divide every mincha 100 ways. You can't say, well, we have two minachot, 50 of you will get from this mincha, 50 from that mincha. That's what's not allowed. What you can do, what you have to do, or what is permitted, is 100 from each one. Every individual has a right in each korban, and there's no trade-off between the korbanot. So that's the final answer that the Baalei Tosafot give, which seems to be the most reasonable way to read the Braita. The Gemara now goes back to the original part of the question. We went through a large Braita over here. The reason we brought the Braita down was because we had a problem. Rabbi Shimon's using the Pasuk to teach him that those korbanot mincha that come from Silrim, when you take off a kamitza from them, the shiraim don't go on the mizbeach, they go to the kohanim. So he was learning that from v'chol mincha b'lulav ha'shemen v'chareiva, v'chol b'nei aron t'yeh ish k'achiv. But that's the same pasuk used by the Braita over here to teach us that you're not allowed to trade off between different korbanot. So how do you have two limudim from the same pasuk? So how mikol nafka? So the Gemara says that you can learn out from the word kol. The word at the beginning of the pasuk says v'chol mincha she tefe benur, v'chol nase b'marcheshet. And then the next pasuk says, v'chol mincha b'lulav ha'shem v'chareiva. So the word kol is what's used over here. So it's not necessarily the particular mincha, but rather the word kol that teaches us this din with regards to not splitting up. So the bright that we learn out from the word kol, and then the imenu inyan lezet, ne'elu inyan acher, is about the particular mincha that is mentioned in each instance, and that's where Rabbi Shimon will learn it from. It says, "Avhikte the Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda." Wait a minute! You already used the word "kol" to teach you the din of Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. At the end of the fifth perek, told us how do you know the fact that when you have a minchat ma'afet tanur that you can't bring it from chalot and rikikim, you can only bring it from chalot or rikikim. So he learned it out from the wording or the minachot that are mentioned in this pasuk, which it says over here, "Kol mincha b'lulav ha'shem v'chareiva." Just like over there, they are separate minachot. So too, v'chol mincha she'tafe betanur, chol naseh marcheshet machavat. Each one of these minachot is a separate mincha. You don't blend between the minachot. And just like a blula and charevar two minim, so too the mafet tanur is two minim, and you don't blend between the two minim. So that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda learned from these psukim. So how is he going to learn this? Now we have a braita. We have Rabbi Shimon over here. Plus, we have Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda all learning from the same pasuk. So, Ela haomi v'vechol. The pasuk doesn't only have the word kol in it, it starts out with a vav, v'chol. And if you see in the Rashi Ktav Yad, it says mirubuye devav. The Braita about the restriction against dividing up korbanot neged korbanot, we'll learn from the extra vav, you're going to learn that out. So you have three different limudim from the pasuk, one from the vav of v'chol, one from the word kol, and then one from the actual mention of the minachot over here. Tosafot does point out that it seems strange that the Gemara is even worried about Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, because over here you only need it for Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon's the one who uses it for the komets that comes off the minachot that are involved with Seorim, that the Shiraim go to the Kohanim. But Rabbi Shimon doesn't have to reconcile with Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. And he says, V'im tomar maskinen kula achsugya to Rabbi Shimon. And he argues on Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. You know, I don't understand why you have to reconcile between them. Plus, there are other limudim that, not like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, but like his father, Rabbi Yehuda, who also learned that chalot and rikikim are separate. So then, why is it that you have to then reconcile them? So Tosafot just says, V'esh l'dayek kacha, im ita de Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, ilay ha'ach b'raita echadorish. If you have Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, then how would he reconcile with this? Not that the Gemara is saying you need to reconcile. It's just pointing out, if you also, if it happens to hold like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, then how would he deal with the fact that you're learning three things from the same sukkim? Okay, Ravina offers a totally different limud. As opposed to the limud that comes from these psukim, he solves the problem as to what the source is, Rabbi Shimon, but also solves the problem as to the braita that's using these psukim already. Then you don't have to use the word kol anymore because he brings it from somewhere else. Arma atya mitani de Levi. Comes from the braitot of Levi, the Tani Levi. Pasuk says, "Zei elecha mikodesh hakodeshim min ha'ish kol korbanam l'chol minchatam u'l'chol chatatam u'l'chol hashamam asher yashivu li kodesh kodeshim l'cha hu u'levanecha." So this references to the psukim in Parshat Korach, 24 manot kuhuna. It's a response to the rebellion of Korach, whereby Korach says the Kohanim are not really the representatives of Hashem, and Hashem, through the miracles of Adar Korach, proves that the Kohanim and Aaron are really appointed as the emissaries of the people to Hashem and to work in the Mikdash and the Mishkan, and in remuneration for their work there, they're entitled to the Matnot Kuhuna. So right after Adar Korach, it lists out the Matnot Kuhuna. On those psukim over there, the pasuk adds in something which seems to be extraneous, which is v'chol korbanam, v'chol minchatam, v'chol chatatam, v'chol hashamam. So the word kol And each of these items is extraneous. And we're going to learn here from the Braita that the word kol comes to include additional items or additional matnot kuhuna that they are entitled to. So Gemara says, kol korbanam, rabot log shaman shel mitzora. They include the log shaman that the mitzora brings, which none of it ends up on the mizbeach. It's sprinkled connected the heichal by the shar nikanor, where the mitzora is standing. The kohen just inside of there takes the shaman and sprinkles it towards the heichal. And then in addition to that, he puts it on the thumb, the big toe, and the ear of the mitzora. And then there's a residual that's left over from that log shaman. What do you do with the residual of the log shaman? So from Kol Korbanam, the Braita of Levi tells us the residual of that log shaman goes to the Kohanim. Sakadat Chamina, I would have thought that the entitlement of the Kohanim is to only things that come from the Esh, that come off of the fire, that come off of the Mizbeach, or at least have a portion that ends up on the Mizbeach. Because the Pasuk begins, Zeyelecha Mekodesh HaKodeshim Min HaEsh, from something that goes on the pyre, on the Mizbeach, this is what your entitlement is. So it sounds like that some piece or some portion of it needs to end up on the Mizbeach, on the Esh, for the Kohanim to be entitled to whatever is listed there. Kamash Malan, so that's why you need a specific reboid, the Chol Korbanam, to tell you that the Log Shemen, even though there's nothing of it that ends up on the Esh, that the Kohanim are still entitled to the residual that's left over from the Matnot of the Mitzora. Tosa, like he does in many places, says, why not then just leave out the word Min HaEsh, and then you could leave out the word the Chol, and then you wouldn't have to have any reboy because there would be no exclusion. So Tosva leaves that as a tzarachiyun, but the truth is that in other places, the Midrash Halacha learns from the word Min HaEsh, that that's something that's kulo kalil, which is an olah. Still the Kohanim have rights in the olah, and that is that they get the orot, they get the skins from the olah. So if that's the case, then you do need Min HaEsh, and once you have Min HaEsh there, then it causes the problem of possibly precluding the log shaman, and that's why you need the kol to include it. The chol minchatam, what does that come to include? Arabot minchat omer uminchat kinaot. So this is what we're looking for. This comes to include these two minachot. Sakadat chamina, you would have thought, vachlu otam asher kupar bahem, the pasuk in Pashat Tetzaveh, in describing the miluim and the jobs of the kohanim, says that the Kohanim will partake of the korbanot, v'achlu otam, and when they eat them, asher kupar behem, they provide or facilitate the kapara for the balim. This is what the Gemara quotes many times, Kohanim ochlim, v'abalim mitkaprim. The Kohanim eat the korban, and the balim attain kapara. So here it says, v'achlu otam asher kupar behem, amar rachmana, and the minchat kinaot, and the minchat omer, are not for kapara. V'haylahatir ga'atir. The Minchat Omer comes lahatir. It is matir chadosh in the gvulin. V'idach nami. And the Minchat Kinaot, livayreir kad atya. It comes to clarify for us whether this woman who secluded with an individual also happened to have an extramarital affair. And so it's coming livayreir avon. It's not coming for kapara. So neither of those are the kapara. So you would think that if it's not brought the kapara, then the Kohanim don't get to eat from it or partake in it. Because the purpose of their eating is to provide kapara. These two korbanot don't provide kapara. So kamash malan, the chol minchatam, that they not only get the regular minachot, but they get the chol minchatam. They get all the minachot, including the minchat omer and the minchat kinaot, which is the minchat sota, which don't have anything in particular written by them that would have indicated to us that the kohanim are entitled to it. So we learn it out from the extra mikol that is mentioned here. Then we say the chol chatotam. What does that come for? The rabot chatat of, to tell you that chatat of is something that the kohanim get to eat from. Because sakadat chamina nevelahi, you would have thought that they aren't entitled to eat from it because you do malika for the chatat of, which is something that makes it into a nevela. It's not shchita. So kamash malan, that they're entitled to eat it. The kamash malan is not that it's like shchita and they really are ksherim. The kamash malan is even though they are a nevela, Kohanim still get to eat it, meaning that there's a special gzeret ha-katuv, that even though it's a nevela, Kohanim are entitled to eat the chatat ha-of, because it's one of the matnot kuhuna that's given to them. The chol ha-shamam, the rabot, asham nazir, v'asham mitzora. The chol ha-shamam comes to include the asham of the nazir and asham mitzora. Where it says, asham mitzora be-ejuktiv be. What do you mean? The asham mitzora explicitly says about it, ki chatat asham hu la-kohen. That says, just like the chatat, the asham goes to the kohen, meaning that the Asham Mitzora is something that the Kohen is entitled to. So then why do you need a inclusionary pasuk in Korach to tell you that? El other abot, Asham Nazir. Come to include an Asham Nazir, ke Asham Mitzora. Similar to the Asham Mitzora. Salkadat Chamilach Shirka Ati, that the Asham Nazir comes to be Matir. It allows the Nazir to continue his count Bitahara. The Asham Nazir is brought by Nazir when he became Tamei Tumat Mate, and now he lost his count. The Asham Nazir is what facilitates his ability to continue the count Bitahara. It's a Matir, it's not a Mechaper. So again, there you would have thought possibly the Kohanim should not partake of it. Kamash Malan, Luchol Ashamam, comes to teach you that even the Asham Nazir is one of the Matnot Kuna, and they are entitled to eat from the Asham Nazir. Now even, truthfully, the Asham Mitzora is also a Matir, because it allows the Mitzora then to come back into the Kahal. It clears him of his Tumah and facilitates his ability to eat Kodoshim. Nevertheless, the Karen R points out that the Asham Mitzora has more associations with Kapara. First of all, it is part of the Mechuserei Kupurim, the Korbanot that the Mitzora has to bring in order to partake in Korbanot and enter the Mikdash. That is more of a status change for the Mitzora as a whole, versus the Nazir, where it's a facilitation of his Nazirut, that allows him then to continue the count of Nazirut. You'd also associate the din of a Mitzora more with Chait than you would that of a Nazir. And for that reason, you can't just extrapolate from the fact that the Asham Mitzora is eaten by the Kohanim, that the Asham Nazir should also be eaten by the Kohanim. To Mashmalan, the whole Ashamam includes that as part of the Matanot Kiuna. Tosfot quotes Rashi from other places in Shas, where he says that all the korbanot that are mentioned in Parshat Korach are not only things that we don't have in other places in the Torah, but even things that we have in other places in the Torah, they're repeated over here, because this is the counter to the Adat Korach. And therefore, every one of the Matnot Kuna is mentioned, even if they were mentioned somewhere else in Shas. The Baalei Tosafot disagree and say that the only things that are mentioned in Parshat Korach are items that are not mentioned somewhere else, or something about them is not mentioned somewhere else. And that's the nature of the Gemara's question when it comes to Asham Mitzora. It says, Asham Mitzora Behedjektiv. We already know the Matnot Kuna that come from the Asham Mitzora, because it's written explicitly in the Parsha of Tarata Mitzora. So that's why we don't need it in Korach. Implied in that is that the Gemara believes that what we're learning from the Matnot Kuna in Parsha Korach are items that are not found anywhere else. The thing that favors Rashi's explanation is the fact that the Gemara learns all these limudim from the word kol, rather than from the core word, korbanam, minchatam, chatatam, v'ashamam. For the Baalei Tosafot, that's where you should have learned it from, because you don't need the word kol. The words themselves, asham, chatat, and mincha, are not necessary in Parshat Korach, according to the Baalei Tosafot, and should have been able to learn it from the word directly. And therefore, you don't even use the word kol, you could have used the core words for it, and he leaves that as a tzarachion on his interpretation. Then it says, Sher yeshivu li, that's a reference to Gezlager, l'cha hu ulevanecha, shalchahi ulevanecha, for it's yours and your children, afilu kadesh bo'adisha, even to get married with it. So the Gezlager is a parshia, which is a subset of Asham Gzelot. Asham Gzelot is a case where a person denies owing money, denies any monetary obligation, and they take a shvuah denying that obligation. Afterwards, he admits that he lied under oath about owing that money. So in order to rectify the situation, he has to do two things. He has to bring an Asham Gzelot, but in addition to the Asham Gzelot, he has to bring a Karen and Chomesh. He has to pay the principal amount back to the person or the party that he owes the money, plus a Chomesh, plus an additional fifth on top of that, which is really 25%, because it's a chomesh milabar, so it's really 25% of the principal amount, but it turns out to be one-fifth of the total after you add it up afterwards, so you give a keren v'chomesh. That works when the individual who you stole from is still alive. If the individual you stole from passed away, then you give it to the yorshim, you give it to the inheritors of that individual. In Parshat Naso, there is a parshia that discusses about Gezel, or a similar scenario of Asham Gzelot. But over there it says that if there's no one to give the money to. And so Chazal say, who in Klal Yisrael has no one to give the money to? We are all related, and at worst, we're related all the way back to Yaakov Avinu, to the Shvatim. We are all kin. So therefore, you always will find a relative of someone. May not be the closest relative, but you always will find a relative. Who in Klal Yisrael doesn't have a relative? Chazal say, that's a ger. A ger who converts his kid, tinok chenola dami, and therefore he has no familial relationships, and if he doesn't have any children after he has converted, then he has no yorshim. And if he has no yorshim, there's nobody to pay the keren v'chomesh to. Now with regards to, generally, the possessions of a ger, they become hefker. And since they are hefker, you take possession of the hefker because it's in your possession at the moment that the ger passes away. But over here, you're trying to attain kapara. And the Keren V'Chomesh is not just a repayment of that indebtedness, but it's also part of the kapara. So over there in Parshat Naso, it says that you pay that Keren V'Chomesh to the Kohanim of the Mishmar in that week. So that's what it's speaking about here. That Gezel Ager that comes, Asher Yeshivu, that people return, Ze Gezel Ager. That's a reference to Gezel Ager. That's the entitlement of the Kohanim. L'chahi ulevanecha. So what does it mean that that will be for you and your children? Shalchahi ulevanecha afilu l'kadesh bo yisha. That you have such ownership or possession in it that it is actually your money or you have monetary rights in here to the point by which you can use it to mikadesh yisha, to marry a woman with. Because it's your money. That's the Gezel Ager that's given. Now, Tosafot over here says that the Gemara in other places suggests that by Gezel Ager, says, Asham Mushav Lashem Lakoein. Asham over there in the Parshia in Vayikra Hey is really a reference not only to the Korban Asham, but the Asham is a reference to the principal amount that's given back. And then it says, Asham Mushav Lashem Lakoein, Kenoo Hashem Benetano Lakoein. Hashem takes possession of it, and then he gives it over to the Kohen in that Mishmar. So when the Pasuk says, Hashem Mamushav Lashem LaKohen, it sounds like it's Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu, that they're getting it from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. A Kodesh Baruch Hu takes possession of it, that's the Kapara, and then he grants it to the Kohanim in that Mishmar. The problem with that is, Al Korchachin Itlan LeMeimar, Dela Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. Tosfot says, there's no way you can say that. The im lo kain heich mekadeshim bo isha. Because if that's the case, you can't use it to be mekadesh an isha. And that's what Rashi brings over here, the mefarish in Rashi. The last one says, kedamar bekidushin, hamekadesh bechelko bekodshei kodashim. Over here, we have a girsa mekudeshet, but the girsa of the Gemara there is ena mekudeshet. You're not married, because the Kohanim do not have monetary rights in the kodshei kodashim. That's what we established above. They can't trade them. And they don't have those monetary rights even in kodshim kalim. Those are mishulchan kavoa kazachu. They're eating off the table of Hashem. Hashem is granting them the right, entitling them to eat it, but he doesn't give them monetary rights. And therefore they can't use it to marry, they can't use it for their own personal desires or personal needs. But over here, where the Gezel Ager is granted to them for their personal needs, that's why Tosafot says over here, that when it says that Hashem was Kana'o and gave it to the Kohen, you can't call it Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu, because if that's the case, then the outcome would be that they can't use it to the Kadesh Bo'et Aisha. But rather, what you have to say is that their rights over here are not rights of Shulchan Kavua, but really monetary rights. That is, Ela Inyan Acher Kamar, then you hold it, no, the Chol Kohen Shir Tzeh. So the reason it says that it goes to the Bnei Mishmar and Hashem grants it to them is to tell you that the person who's returning the money to the Ger, who's already passed away and now giving it to the Kohanim, he can't just go pick whichever Kohen he wants and hand them the money. He has to give it in to the Mikdash. And they divide it up amongst the Anshei Mishmar. That's what it means, it belongs to Hashem, and then is granted to the Kohanim, that it belongs to the Mishmar. It belongs to the Kohanim as a class. It does not belong to the individual to grant to a particular Kohen. It's not like Truma, where you can pick the Kohen that you give it to. That's not true over here. You have to give it to the Mishmar, and the Mishmar divides it up amongst the Kohanim. So that's what it means, it comes from Hashem, but it doesn't mean Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. Although Tosafot then goes on to say, "Vim tomar peyach mekachin bat isha, how can you use it for kiddushin? Ha lav mamon kohenu." He says, despite all of that, the Gemara seems to indicate that it's not the mamon of the kohen, because there are certain limitations about when you can return it. It has to be brought like an asham, just like an asham of korban is brought during the day. So to the money can only be returned to the kohenim during the day. Given that limitation, it makes it sound like it's not much different than kodashim that are brought to the mikdash. In service of Mikdash, and Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. So at the Bali Tosfot say, V'yesh Lomar, Hani Milei Kodem Chaluka. Before the money is distributed to the Kohanim, it has the status of Kodoshim, it has the status of being brought like an Asham, but once it's been divided amongst the Kohanim of the Mishmar, Ma'ashe Gia, the Kol Echad Ve'Echad, Chalko Naseh Mamon. Once he gets his portion, that portion he owns in its entirety, and he is entitled to do with it as he pleases. Alright, now the Gemara moves on in a non-sequitur to something totally different, which is Amar Rav Huna, Shalmei Ovdei Kochavim Olot. The Shlamim of non-Jews are Olot. Truth is, it's not clear what Rav Huna means over here. Does he mean that this remains a Shlamim, but just with regards to the eating of the Korban, we treat it like an Olah, and it goes Kula Kaleil on the Mizbeach? So it is a Shlamim, but a Shlamim without eating associated with it? Or does it actually become a full-fledged Olah? and it'll be processed as an Ola, not a Shlamim. And obviously there are nafkaminot between them, including where you would have to shecht it in the Mikdash. Some say he learns it from the Pasuk. Some say that he learns it logically. The logical argument is Oved Kochavim Libo Lashamayim. That when it comes to Oved Kochavim, his intent is Lashamayim to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So if you look in the Rashi Ktav Yad, he explicates on this and says, De'eni Odeya B'tiv Korban. He doesn't really understand Korbanot. V'chi Nadar B'libo Lashamayim Nadar. When he brings a korban, his intention is that the korban goes to Hashem. That's what he thinks he's bringing for. Hilchach kalil hein ligva. Therefore, it goes in its entirety to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and not a portion of it. Shlamim involve a portion to the Mizbeach, portion to the Balim, and a portion to the Kohanim. It's clear here that he can't partake in the Kodeshim, even if it was a Shlamim, because he is an Arel. An Arel doesn't have entitlement to partake in the Korbanot. His perspective on Korbanot is some sort of sacrifice to God. He doesn't see this as something where the Kohanim get a portion of it or partake in whatever he is bringing, and therefore even if he brought a Shlamim, his view of a Shlamim is really an Olah. And that's why logically, we'd assume that whatever he brought is an Olah. V'ibaytei makra, we learn that from the Pasuk in Parshat Emor, where it says, in Pasuk Yudchet, Daber al Aron, ve'al banav ve'al kol b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta lehem, ish, ish mi beit Yisrael, min ager bi Yisrael, asher yakrivu korbano, l'chol nidrehem, u'l'chol nidvotam, asher yakrivu l'ashem le'olah. That which they bring is an Olah. That pasuk means called the mikarve, anything that's brought, yakriv Hashem le'olah lahave, it will be an olah. Meaning that there's a limitation on what they bring, that it will be an olah. Now, truthfully, in the pasuk, it doesn't speak about a goy, about a non-Jew at all. It actually seems to be speaking not about a non-Jew. It says ish ish mi beit Yisrael umen ager bi Yisrael. Seems to be speaking about a Yisrael or a convert. It doesn't seem to be speaking about a goy. But as we're going to see, the word ish ish is used by the Gemara to include a nachri or an oved kochavim. So that's how they're included in the pasuk of ish ish. And that tells us that asher yakrivu l'ashem olah, anything that they bring will be an olah. The Karen Orah in the end actually says we need both of these, the kra and the svara, because each one independently would leave you to a different conclusion. If you add just the svara, that would indicate that if the goy articulated that he wanted it to be a shlamim, and he makes it clear he understands what a shlamim is, then we would bring it as a shlamim according to the svara. Whereas according to the kra, there is no such thing as a shlamim by a goy. And then vice versa, if he was makdish a shlamim according to the kra, it would be nothing. Since he has no right to be makdish a shlamim, there is no shlamim for a goy. On the other hand, if you did it by svara, then there would be a possibility of being makdish a shlamim. So when you take the two of them together, it tells you not only is a shlamim an olah, but even if he articulates it to be a shlamim, it'll still be an olah. And if he's makdish it as a shlamim, it still will turn into an olah, even though technically he has no right to bring a shlamim. Meiti Rav Chama Begurmia, Ovei Kochavim Sheit Nadev Lavi Shlamim, Nitanan Yisrael, Yisrael Ochlan, Nitanan Kohen, Akohen Ochlan. So if the Goy comes and brings a Shlamim, and he brings the Shlamim and gives it to Yisrael, Yisrael becomes the Balim over the Korban Shlamim, and he gets to eat the Basar as the Balim. If he gives it to the Kohen becomes the Balim over the Shlamim, and they can eat it. Again, the Nachri himself can't eat it because he's an Arel. And you can see that in the Rashi Ktav Yad, where he says, La fuke l'oved kochavim, de lo safinen kodoshim, de arel asur bekodoshim. It's because the arel is totally precluded from kodoshim, so there's no possibility of him donating it for a goy to eat it, or for he himself to eat it. It's not even in the realm of possibility. But here, where he granted it to either Yisrael or Kohen, they have the ability to eat it. What that shows you is that he can create a korban shlamim. So Amarova hoki kamar. This is what it means over there. If a Jew, a Yisrael, has a requirement to bring a Shlamim, and the Goy decides to sponsor him, or to pay for the Shlamim, so then, Ochlan, then the Yisrael Ochlan, he eats it. Or if the Kohen was obligated to bring a Shlamim, and the Goy is funding that, then Kohen Ochlam. So it's not really a Shlamim of a Goy, it's just the Goy is sponsoring the Shlamim that really this Yisrael or Kohen had to bring. And that's why it remains a Shlamim. Not that the goy himself could bring a shlamim. Meiti Rav Shibzi, elu menachot nikmatzot v'shiareihem lekohanim. These are menachot where a kmitza is taken off of them, and the residual will be given to the kohanim. One of those is a minchat ovdei kochavim. That's one of the menachot that was listed in our Mishnah, is a mincha of an ovdei kochavim. So now, Rashi already noted this in the first part of the Gemara. If you look at the top Rashi, it says, Shalmei ha'ovdei kochavim, ovdei kochavim shenadar la'avi shlamim olotein, ve'ein nechalim, ve'hu adin de minchatan kalil. That same din would apply to their mincha. In Shlamim is partly on the Mizbeach, partly to the Kohen. And we're saying about that Goy or the non-Jew doesn't have anything like that. So therefore, it's only an Olah. So the same thing would apply, according to Rashi, with the Mincha. The Mincha portion goes on his back, portion to Kohanim. He doesn't know anything about that. He doesn't have any conception of a Korban in that way. So therefore, when he brings a Mincha, he has to bring a Kalil. It'll all go on the Mizbeach, which is pretty amazing, because we're actually creating a new class of mincha just for the goy. Normally, Kohen's mincha goes kalil mizbeach, Yisrael's mincha goes kometz on the mizbeach, shirayim to the Kohen. Over here now, because of the goy, we're creating a new class of mincha, which is kalil on the mizbeach, even though he's not a Kohen. We do have a paradigm of the mincha of a Kohen, but there his will go on kalil. And that's the Gemara's question over here. How could it be that the mincha over here in the Mishnah, it has a kometz taken off of it, and then the residual goes to the Kohanim, that would be on par with the Shlamim, and the Shlamim being eaten by the Kohanim. So, Am Rabbi Yochanan lo kasha, ha Rabbi Yossi Galili, ha Rabbi Akiva. That's the machlok between Rabbi Yossi Galili and Rabbi Akiva as to what a goy can bring. Detanya, ish. Ma talmud lomar, ish. Why does it say ish again? That's what we noted in the pasuk that we read before, ish, ish. Ish, the rabot, et ha'ovei kochavim, shenodrim nidarim, v'nidavot ki Yisrael. That comes to teach you that an ovei kochavim has the right to bring a neder or a nidava, just like a Yisrael. Asher yakriv al Hashem ola, ainli elo ola. The end of the pasuk, as we read before, says that you bring an ola. Shlamim inayin. How do I know that you can also bring shlamim? Tamalomar nidrehem. Todah minayin. Tamalomar nidvotam. Minayin the rabot haofot. Vayayin valivona vaitzim. How do I know that you can also donate all of these other items as korbanot? Birds, wine, frankincense, wood. According to at least Rabbi, who believes that wood is a korban, Talmud Lomar, Nidrehem, Nechol Nidrehem, Nidvotam, Nechol Nidvotam. So the actual word kol, that is by Nidrehem, and kol by Nidvotam, tells you that they have a right to bring any of these items. Inkein, Ma Talmud Lomar, Ola. So then why does it say the word Ola at the end of the Pasuk, which seems to be limiting in some way? Ola, Prat Nizirut. That tells you that you can't have a nether Nizirut, meaning that you can't bring the korbanot that are associated with the Nizirut. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili's view is very expansive, that a goy could bring almost anything in the Mikdash. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Asher Yakriv Hashem Lola, Inli Elo Ola, Bilvad. Ola is the only thing that he can bring. That's it. Is it true that we learn out the exclusion of Nizirut from that posuk? Don't we learn it out from over here? In the Parshia in Naso, with regards to the Nazir, it says, Dabel ben Israel, Ramar to them, Ish ki aflin indor neder Nazir lazir. And the Pasuk began, Bnei Israel. Bnei Israel no dream, Ve'en of de kochavim no dream. Only Bnei Israel are entitled to take on a neder Nizirut. A goy is not entitled to take on a neder Nizirut. Mar says, Imi hotam, had you only had that Pasuk, Ava mina korbanu dololaiti. He only can't bring the korban. Ava Nizirut chalalayu. But he can take on a neder Nizirut. Kamash malan. So if you only had one of the two psukim, you would have just assumed it precludes the avei kochavim for being a korban nizirut, but doesn't preclude him from nizirut. That's why I have the second pasuk to teach me that he's also precluded from nizirut. And that'd be no matter which one of the two psukim you had. Or you could argue that the pasuk over here excludes him from the korban nizirut, and the pasuk by nizirut precludes him from the neder nizirut. And if you only had the pasuk there by the neder nizirut, he couldn't take a neder nizirut, but he could offer a korban nizirut. So that's why you need both psukim, one to eliminate the possibility of nizirut, and the other one to eliminate the possibility of korban nizirut. Tell us what asks over here, why do we need ish ish the rabot and ovei kochavim? Because there's an explicit pasuk in Vayikra Chapet in Amor that says, "Umiyad b'neicha lo tokivu elechem elokeichem mikol eile, ki mashkatam b'em mum bam lo yiretzu lechem." Any korban that has a mum in it, you can't bring. And there it says, "Miyad b'neichar." Even from a non-Jew, you may not accept a baal mum. Implied in that, or what you can infer from that, is that if it was a tamim, you could accept it from a b'neichar. So what do I need ish ish to be rabot of dei kochavim? So Tosva gives two answers, the first of which is, had I just had Miyad ben Nechar, not Ish Ish, I would have thought, well, if they bring a Baal Mum, the Goy, then there's a Lav. But if they don't bring a Baal Mum, they bring a Tamim, There's no lav, but there's still an isur to bring it. So ish ish comes to tell me there's no isur at all, and they can bring it without any problem. Or he suggests that maybe the pasuk over there, b'yad ben nechar, is a reference to korbanot that tzibur. It's actually a restriction against them bringing anything that's a contribution to the tzibur, including a shekel or something that they're moser to the tzibur. And if that was the case, that we don't accept him as part of the tzibur, then also we wouldn't accept him as a korban yachid. That's what ish ish comes along to tell you, that we do accept personal donations or personal korbanot from the goy. And once you do that, that might reflect back on the pasuk miyad ben nechar to tell you there it's not speaking about korbanot tzibur, but rather about mumim, and telling you that you don't accept mumim from a goy when he brings that personal korban. But without ish ish, you would have thought the pasuk was speaking about donations to the tzibur and the restriction against donations to the tzibur. You need ish ish to tell you that even though he's restricted from donations to the tzibur, he is permitted to bring personal korbanot. And those personal korbanot are governed by the same laws that he can't be a baal mum. Although Tosafot in Tmura, when he brings up this question where the pasuk of Miyad ben Nechar is darshened, there he says that the reason you need ish ish here is for the miutim of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, which is ish ish for Rabbi Yossi Aglili comes to exclude the goy from the zirut, and ish ish Rabbi Akiva comes to exclude him from anything besides an ola. And that's why you need the pasuk of ish ish. It's not for the ribui of what they can bring, it's for the exclusion of what they cannot bring, and that's why you need the pasuk of ish ish. So now where it says, Kaman Azla Haditnan, who does the following Mishnah follow? Amar Rabbi Shimon, Shivat Varim Hitkinu Beitin. There were seven things instituted by Beit Din. One of those seven items, again, we discussed this earlier, we enumerated over there the seven items that were part of the Takanat Beit Din. One of them was, Oved Kochavim Sheshalach Oloto Mimidinat Hayam, Bishilach Ima Nisachea, Krevim Mishalo. If an Oved Kochavim sends from overseas an Ola, and along with the Ola, he sent the wine libations and the Minchat Nisachim that goes along with it, then we use that which he sent and put it on the Mizbeach. Vim Lav, if he didn't send the Nisachim, and an Ola that goes on the Mizbeach requires Nisachim, Krevim Yishel Tzibur. The Tzibur, the public, pays for it or sponsors a Nesach to go along with that Korban Ola. So there you see, he has the ability to donate a Nesach along with his Korban Ola. So Lema Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi, below Rabbi Akiva. Let us say that it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili and not Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Yossi Aglili says you can donate not only an Ola, but also Nisachim and also Menachot. Mar says, Afilu Teim Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva said Ola, it's Ola Bechol. Chaverta, or the other girsa is Ola v'chol abizrata, or the other girsa possibly is Ola v'chol abizraha, which is that an Ola in all its trappings. So that when it says that you can bring an Ola, or an Ovi Kolayim Ola, that's an Ola in everything that's associated with the Ola, including the Nisachim, and the Minchat Nisachim that comes along with it. So Man Tana, Lahad Detaro Banan, who is the author of this, Breita? Ezrach. So the Pasuk in Parshat Shlach, when it discusses the requirement to bring Nisachim along with the Korbanot, it says there, Kol Ezrach Yaseh Kacha, Et Eil Lakrib Yisher Yech Nechoch Lashem. So from there you have a limitation that only an Ezrach can bring Nisachim, but not an Ovi Kochavim, maybe Nisachim. Yochol Ot Eil Ato Tuna Nisachim, you would think his Ola does not require Nisachim. Tamal Omer Kacha. So he can't bring an independent Nesach, but he can bring a Nesach along with his Korban Ola. And so Rashi in the Ketav Yad explains that Ve'enu Ilvei Kochavim Me'ev Nisachim is below Karban. But with a Korban, he does bring Nisachim, and he does have a right or an obligation to bring the Nesach along with the Korban Ola. Although the Bali Tosafot do bring a Girsa for this Gemara from Tmura, where there it sounds like the Goy is precluded from being Nisachim at all. And there is no obligation for the Goy or possibility of the Goy bringing Nisachim along with his Korban Ola. And the obligation is really on the Tzibur to provide the Nisachim. And that a Goy doesn't have a right to Nisachim whatsoever. Even though if he sends them, we will put them on the Mizbeach. But he doesn't send them, there's really no obligation on the Goy or right of the Goy to bring the Nisachim. Mani. Who's the author of that, Breita? Lo Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Lo Rabbi Akiva. Can't be either of them. If it was Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Amar Afilu Yayin Nami. He says you can even bring donation of a Yayin Nesech independent of an Ola. That Breita says only if it's attached to a Korban Ola. If Rabbi Akiva, Amar Ola in Midi Achrin Olo. And if it's Rabbi Akiva, he already told us that only an Ola a Goy is allowed to bring Midi Achrin Olo. But something else not. He's not allowed to bring Yayin as Nesech. Ibaitema Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Ibaitema Rabbi Akiva. Some say that it's authored by Rabbi Yossi Aglili, some say it's Rabbi Akiva. Ibaitema Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Sami mihahi yayin. Take out or drop from the original Breita yayin. Meaning that there was a number of items that were enumerated there that Rabbi Yossi Galili says that a goy could bring. One of them was minayin rabot ofot, a yayin of the levona beitzim. So what we're saying is now drop yayin from that list, and it should just read minayin rabot ofot, levona neitzim, not yayin. Yayin's not included. Yayin's not something that's brought by the goy. And you can understand maybe possibly something along those lines, partially because of the institution of the chachamim with regards to yayin nesech and stam yenam, that the goy is coming into contact with the wine is going to cause problems for the wine. And that could have caused problems if you had to bring it in the Mikdash as well. It'd have to be sealed. It'd have to be made by a Jew. There'd have to be a lot of requirements in order for the yayin to be good yayin that can be put on the Mizbeach. So it would make a lot of sense to drop yayin from that. But of course, over here, the Gemara is saying this at a Doraita level, at a Torah level. V'ibay teima, Rabbi Kiva, it could be authored by Rabbi Kiva, Ola, v'chol chaverta, chol abizraha, meaning Ola and all its trappings, including the Nesech, and therefore Rabbi Kiva could also possibly be the author of this Braita. And now the Gemara goes back to the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon says that a minchat chotev kohanim has a kamitza taken off of it. The kometz is put on the mizbeach, and the shirayim are also put on the mizbeach. Because we know that a minchat kohen is kalil, has to be fully put on the mizbeach. But here Rabbi Shimon requires that you first take off a kometz before you put a kalil on the mizbeach. Minahani milei. How does he know this? The Tzara Banan. Vaita la kohen ka mincha. It will be for the kohen like the mincha. This is the minchat chotev that's found in Perek Hay of Vayikra, where it says over there, Chiper alav ha-kohen al chatato asher chata me'achat me'ele, from one of the four items that require a korban ole v'yored, v'nislach lo, and that will bring him forgiveness, v'aital ha-kohen ka-mincha, and it will be for the kohen like a mincha, shetei avodatak shera bo. So we learn from that that the avodah of the minchat choteh can be done by the kohen who's bringing the minchat choteh. Ataomer shetei avodatak shera bo. You're telling me that that's telling us that the Kohen has the right to bring the Minchat Choteh. Kohen elo latir Minchat Choteh shel Kohanim. Or maybe it's coming to tell you that if it's a Minchat Kohen, then that would be also okay, meaning that the Kohen will get a portion of it. Umar me'kayim b'chol Minchat Kohen kalil tiyeh. What about the fact that in Perek Vav, it says with regards to the Minchat Chavitin at the end there, b'chol Minchat Kohen kalil tiyeh lo te'achel. What are you going to do about that? That's Minchat Nidvato. That would be his mincha that's brought as a nidava. The five minachot that we have in Perek Bet of Vayikra, that will be governed by b'chol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh. Those minachot will have to be being brought in kalil. Aval chovato te'in echelet. But if his korban, that's an obligation, the minchat choteh, that will be eaten by the kohenim. Tamal omar, v'itala kohen ki mincha. That's what the pasuk at the end says to you, that it will be for the kohen like a regular mincha. Mikish chovato the nidavato. It now connects or creates a hekesh between his obligatory mincha and his voluntary mincha. Just like his voluntary mincha is kalil, so too his obligatory mincha is also kalil. So ma nidvato eina nechelet. Just like his nidava is not eaten, av chovato eina nechelet. So too his chova is not eaten. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, wait a minute. V'chi nemar v'ayital ha-kohen kim minchato. The way you darshened it makes it sound like the pasuk says that vaitala kohen kim minchato. It'll be for the kohen like his mincha, meaning like his mincha nedava. That's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says vaitala kohen ka mincha, generically. The kohen's mincha and the minchat choteh will be like a mincha in general. And that's what he says here. Va'lo lo ne'emar lekim mincha. El elekish minchat choteh shel kohanim kim minchat choteh shel Yisrael. Kim mincha means like any standard mincha. Like the mincha of Yisrael that's bringing a minchat choteh, so too is the mincha of the Kohanim. Ma minchat choteh Yisrael nikmetzet. Just like the mincha of Yisrael has a kometz taken off of it, af minchat choteh shel Kohanim nikmetzet. So too the minchat choteh of a Kohanim has to have a kometz taken off of it. Ima minchat choteh Yisrael nikmetzet v'sheyarei nechalim. Well, if that's the case, then why don't you parallel it completely and say that just like the kometz that's taken off the minchat Yisrael, the shirayim are then eaten by the Kohanim, af minchat choteh shel Kohanim nikmetzet, where the kometz is taken off, Shiare nechalim, the residual should be eaten by the kohanim. Tal melomar la kohen kamincha, la kohen kamincha, velo li ishim kamincha. It's saying that it will be for the kohen like a mincha, but it will not be to the pyre like a mincha. Hakeit said, how do you resolve that? Kometz karev ba'atzmo. Kometz is put on the mizbeach by itself. Vishiarayim karevim ba'atzman. And shirayim are placed separately onto the mizbeach. So what he learns in the end is that when it says haita la kohen kamincha, means that the minchat choteh of the kohen is like the minchat choteh of Israel. That is in the processing of it, that it requires a kmitzah, a kometz be taken off of it, and that there be shirayim. You would think then that the shirayim can be eaten by the kohen, that it says, Vaitala kohen kamincha. Only the kohen's part of the avoda is similar to that of a minchat chotev Yisrael. The kohen's contribution to the mincha is the removal of the kmitzah and placing it on the mizbeach. So just like that happens by minchat chotev Yisrael, that will happen by minchat chotev kohen. But when it comes to the mizbeach, their dinim are not shaveh. The mizbeach, the din is different for that of a kohen than that of Yisrael. And therefore the minchat Yisrael would shereh nechalim. That's not true for the minchat kohen. The remainder will go on the mizbeach. And that is the source for Rabbi Shimon's position. And then the Gemara is going to come back tomorrow and discuss what we learned from the Tanakama's position with regards to a kohen can process his own minchat choteh. And the Gemara is going to say, don't we learn that from somewhere else? So we're going to stop here, 9 lines down on the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph.